from Genesis chapter 22.
As they came off of these things, they anointed Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took the two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, gave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place of his God and told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place above. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I will then go yonder and worship thee, and come again to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and the knife, and they went, both of them, together. And Isaac came up to Abraham his father, and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, and the wood, but where is the lamb? For the burnt offering. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself. So they went, both of them together, and came to the place of God, and told him of. Abraham was an altar there, laid the wood in order, and divided his son, laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife and slayed his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in the thicket by his horn. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for burnt offering, in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As he said to this day, In the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. Well, I'd like you to turn along one or two books to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 26. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, and the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and to go up to the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I press this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord swear unto our fathers for him. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the Lord, of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Assyrian, ready to perish, what am I not? Verse 9, And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even the land that followeth with milk and honey. Now, O Lord, I have known the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and demand worship for the Lord thy God. Just the verse 2 in the second of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Second chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 11. Matthew 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, the bed of his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gift, gold, and frankincense, and one more, that is in the fifth of Revelation. The last of the Bible, chapter 5. Verse 2, a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book?" Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Last verse, and the four beasts said, "Amen." And the four of the elders fell down and worshipped. I think about a change of God that we have abundantly clear to you. I want to call one part of this marvelous, plenty subject of worship. Something the heart of the Lady God is looking for from your heart and mind. Something the Spirit of God is laying to bring out from your treasury, so to speak, to minister to him. I was interested and I was encouraged this afternoon by the fact that both of him we sang carried the formal statement of worship. Here in Genesis, if you know all well, we have in the picture. My heart delights in simple pictures because being a simple man, my God, which some of you are, you can understand the picture. We might not be able to understand that some intricate little pictures of you. But when you look at a picture of the Lady God and all things, to draw by the Holy Spirit, then you're looking at something that he that he now creates will affect your spirit and soul and you'll be able to understand. And so over and over again you find, particularly in the Old Testament, that the Spirit of God is drawing a picture. And he's drawing the children of our Saviour of God. And it's not a little bit usual saying that we're not children, first of all we are all his children, but then you remember that he brought himself said that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto all men. It's a beautiful thing for God to be made by the character, to be so dependent, so utterly and wholly dependent upon the arms and breast of another, that you are, so to speak, quite helpless, but thoroughly careful and recognized. That's what God does today. He cares for us, he carries us through, and he nourishes us. And then he produces out of our heart the affection that we see himself. And he says all the afternoon, if the name of God sees fit by the Holy Spirit to minister something in your heart and mind, make it all the way you might sit, present it back to him. Basically, saying, you and I would be empty-handed, you see, if he didn't first of all speak into our heart, such an affection, and then by the Spirit of God, lead us to present back to him only after all what he is good. So here in this beautiful picture, so very well known to you, I don't want to touch on one of the features of our God. As I hope I've said here before, I'm not aiming at your mind and your knowledge, I'm aiming at addressing myself to your question, and I know no scripture development that is more likely to appeal to your affection and mind than the blessed God gave his Son and spared him not. Now, in order to impress your heart and mind to this blessing and wonderful truth, he has recorded it here in picture so that we can understand. Now, whatever I said about the young this afternoon, the young can understand this, they're not pictures. And now, whatever I said about the old can understand this, I'll say to myself, they're not pictures. Because they're simple. They are pure and simple mind. And not only that, they are so perfect because they delineate by God's Holy Spirit with his marvelous truth, coming in the intrinsic love and freshness of Jesus. Now, he says, here's the sixth test, I think it is. You have to find my human life, and this is important for you, this book. But I think it's the sixth test that Abram has to face. He doesn't succeed in all of them, but he failed in several, as you know. But here, he is successful. In fact, he's so successful, so obedient a man at all, saying that the Spirit of God in the 11th, I think, of Hebrews tells us that he knew. He tells us that this Abraham knew very well that God was able to raise him from the dead. So it's wonderful that he's speaking about the sake of God. When you lay hold of this, that as our brother said, not when everything begins to develop, in an entirely new sphere altogether, you and I will never know how to address such visible to water. They know that you try and harm it, but that you haven't got an oxygen mask. You see, the atmosphere is so rarely fine that you need the additional oxygen that the cylinder will give you. Well, it would make you call the lift on your marketing and put down there with the light standard. And get you to walk with him, all those speeches, you will. He will equip you in all the same life in the atmosphere. And he will attend to the patient. And he'll talk to you about the presence of Christ, just as he's doing here. He's telling you all the time that he has a son. And he's telling you that he loves his son. And in spite of his loving, and this is him, and in spite of him being all with his own son, he is prepared to give him up. Give him up for other things of God. Give him up to what? Give him up to death. Beloved, and you constantly say the presence of Christ the Lord laid down his life on your down man. When he was in nothing more about this man, they put it to them. And when the Lord is saying to God, he has nothing else to do, he gave himself. You've never met a man like this. By all heavens of God, when the Lord is a dead man, then God only says to your heart, the Son of the Lord, and he comes screaming down with his heart tonight into your affections. May I say suitable for the reception of that truth. For this is the story of a living God to you. Thy son, he said, thy only son, why does God undermine this? Why does he overrule the industry over the womb? It's bad enough to know it's thy son, isn't it? What did you say to Abraham? It's thy only son. But what about this man? He's out of it altogether. Thy only son. The child of promise. Why have you depended on it? Thy son, he said. My only son. And now to make matters worse, the son will not die. He found, I think of my boy son. The boy son, get me, and all this, for that knowledge. What a remarkable lot of things that all the only things of the father, the only son, whom he loved. The child of the temple that has been promised. Love the Lord, all Abraham, food, rest. And now God says, in his great severe test, he says, often, I have prepared Abraham to give up your only son, the son whom thou lovest, the son whom I gave you by promise, the son in whom is deposited all the promises, so to speak. I have prepared to give even him up to me, O beloved, you know, you love this son. If your heart and mind, you are tired of what you think of the legacy of the father with the beloved son, are you go to the altar to what have we committed to that place of God? What can you give that little day of the sun? If you and I are just hopeless and helpless in the face of the great thing like this, and all we can give to the blessed God is the worship and the adoration of the Redeemer. The reason the Lord thinks that God is looking for that, he might expect that in your heart and mind. He may expect you to have enough spiritual intelligence to understand that he gave his beloved son, and he didn't spare the life. You know, the first time in the Bible we get the expression worship. Yet Abraham, with his faithful pressure on his spirit, says to the young man, he and I, we're going on together. When he looked at what he said, and he took the fire in his hand, he had the knife, and they went over them to death. The fire, the judgment, the life, the death, the captain, the two, they climbed the mountain to the destination. This is the last one of the things that God meditated upon, seeing my death. Well, not it might be, see, find some, see, portrayed by God, the Holy Spirit, in such an action as this. Going so far because God didn't know the whole language. He was prepared to go. He was prepared to go all the way. He didn't spare the country. And he didn't turn aside from them. But he gave them the picture, Victoria, telling for the marvelous story. He spared them. And he spared them. And he fell upon the Christ of God. Now, the mind you love together, it fell upon Jesus, on God. You and I are happy together tonight, in the knowledge of that message together tonight, for what we do then. For a storm and reviled and rejected, is accepted and glorified, come and seek and stand for our hand. So then. It is on your account, but we do, it is the fault, it's true, but it is on your account, what I say, the fault of mine, you are in the rest. I say I gave it, it's not yours to give, he gave himself, and he gave himself to you. And then if anything, any response in your heart and mind, if you calculate your lives, you know, the need more of the service, and God examines your heart, sitting in your heart, the blessing of God is deep, and in this sense, please compose a psalm, compose something to him, in thanksgiving and praise, in adoration and worship, that he ever spared as the loving son, in order to bring us near to him. Why he always wants you, beloved, in his presence or not, I don't know. You can't tell me why he wants me there. But that is an infinite, most sovereign grace that he picked us up and placed us up there in that name. And we are accepted as a result of him in love. Here is his story. He took the fire that night and then went over them together. That's John Cross, of course. You read John Cross, and I know you do, and you will find out. Then he falls into this little cup. They went to the front of them again. And this man had, what will I might say, no will of his. He said he came into the Father. The will of another that looked at him. And it was the word of another that he spake. And it was the works of another that he did. He came here as a representative of the Father, you will remember. Any more blessed seen than the seen of the website. Here's a man that's come from heaven, and he's come from the Father's heart, and he's come to tell a woman about the Father, and he's come to tell her about the Father seeking worshippers. And there he is, acting for the Father. The ambassador, if you will, the embassy of heaven, coming down here to make known what is in the heart of the blessed of life. You and I never found what is in the heart of the because he's given us these little pictures and these scriptures in order in a kind of extra reason to our own conversations that we might be interested and understand spiritually a little of what it cost him to give his beloved son on all the time in order that he might read the law, touch the heart of the victim, and respond to himself. But if you think of it, beloved, then you might say, in a sense, leaning out of every time into heaven tonight with the blessing of God looking into your heart. And desire that there might be some little response for all that is done on your behalf. He says, often enough we have enough time for giving back to God what he has given to us, or presenting to God that from his six. Father, six, what are you working on, God, essentially? Or you have an ability, a gospel picture, a direct instrument, distributor. I ask all the people in the speech about the same, all marvelous, all wonderful words of it, say to God. And then ask you then, are you a worshiper? God wants to worship us. He knows that. He knows it's in your heart. He knows there's something in your heart that will respond to him. You know the basis of worship. Love is saying to God when I be bold enough to reject it. So you, the place of worship and adoration, you fall on those blessed feet, and you adore that dearest thing, because you understand something of the intrinsic love, and you can't help yourself. You cut off something of the blessed joy of the virtue of that man. Why, in this life, and your heart is filled with Christ. Adoration for love is not of the heart. You must adore this man. Blessed be his name. He will fill your heart. He saw it all to know. Only give him a chance to love it. You understand? He'll fill your heart. He'll let it all afford him. It won't be wrong with anything else. All this nonsense of the world has come on the ground floor, underneath the other door. You'll have no time for it. You'll say it's changing. You'll recognize its source. It comes from the world only by Satan. We don't think of these things. We get all sorts of things in the house. We don't think that the source of all this is back, God. Satanic force is coming from Satan. God lives not above it. By his precious Christ died on the earth. You remember? Three times in John's gospel, he lifted up. You don't need that man in his thought, his surroundings. I remember I used to go and have coffee with a dear old brother. He did very well in the business too. I think we were quite good enough for him. But he used to have a man in his house, drinking coffee. We used to talk about the mind being we had wonderful precious times together. And he said to me one day, he said, he's a Christian all the road, isn't he? Yes, he said, what do you think of it? He said, you're wrong. What do you think of it? Go to some God in wisdom. He said, what do you mean? He knows much about heaven. No, I don't. And he tells another thing to me. It is the fault, not understanding of God, not seeing. Then we are linked for a living in Christ in another sphere altogether. And that thought is seen underneath the other room. He's earning his wings. Beneath the God, why do you and I have in the mud, so to speak, when there's this other on the upper atmosphere where God can be a heart of precious of Jesus? I must deserve it. But it's true, your heart filled with Christ, what else do you want? You remember the story of the woman in the garret, of course you do, in London City, in the garret of the poor, with love, she said, I have Christ. What will I want? All that my heart is here, I have Christ, he said. What more about you? The lovely thing is, God, you and I know full well that we say, with her, I have Christ, then we can say, what more about you? I'm sure he is competent and willing to fill your heart to overflow it, so there's no room for anything else. My son, he said in verse 8, God will divide himself and man. I'm not thinking this is John's minor name, remember? I think it's only John, except when they speak of one speech, but it's another way. It's only John who talks of the Lamb of God in the Gospel and in the Book of Revelation. He says, remember, when he sees Jesus walking, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Abraham says, God will divide a lamb. There you have it. John sees him, your heart recognizes him, you know he's the sent man of God coming into the world. He says to take away the sin of the world, but that's not all. He was also the one who was baptized with God the Holy Spirit. There's no end to our relationship to God, to the glory of this blessed man. There's no end to his utter perfection, to beauty. You can spend a lifetime down here in exploring his life with God, if you will, but you'll spend all the eternity in his presence. And you'll be amazed to know that you haven't touched the room to all, and he's summed up in that glorious, dearest man. Why, heaven, not knowing what to do about his word, he said in Psalm 21, they put a crown of pure gold upon his head. And he crowned the sea with blood in the God. He's in a pure rock crown he would offer to the dearest man. He has an estimation on the worth of the man who came and died for you and for me. God was like the man then, and he's dropping down now to verse 15. He says, Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram. Does it occur to you that Abram said, God was like a lamb? But then we read that God didn't act as a man, he's a rider of a ram. God went one better than Abram thought. Abram thought, well, God was a rider of a ram. You know what a ram means? It's a suffering one. It's the one that was confident and able to lay down his precious life and willing enough to do it. The ram speaks of all energy and power and the devotedness to God and that man. That man, of course, never existed as a devotedness to the will of the Father. sea. Is this man competent or the vision of God to be able to meet all the demands, north, south, east, and west? Find the sacrifice, of course, to the home of the earth. And the love of James is all that I have that he must have more than if he found himself on your countenance. There is all the importance you speak of that devotion of God that we give it. And often enough, I doubt not we look in the door and you see there the person on the hill that he died there, came up his precious life under the door and stuff. So I would sometimes look at the first one all the time, and your heart is maddened by the thought that there is man is up there in the door. Then the children of the fifth Moses, what do you tell the children? Fathers and mothers, what do you tell the children? Let the boy do. You think God will call us to account? But if we have to ask him what we told our children, well, they are prepared to tell their children of these 12 stones. 12 in, 12 out. The precious death of Jesus there, when Jordan was at his time, he died on our account of our sins of God. And let us never forget, on our children's account, let us never forget. Now let us call their minds by taking them and hand over the world and leave them to the precious holiness of the person who laid down his precious life. We can't do it. We can't have one, we can't have both. They don't mingle, they don't go together. They go into this Christ, go through your heart, and then go into everything else, go by the wall. He says, a ram caught in a thicket by the door, and Abraham and Abraham took him and offered him up for a blood offering to Jesus, and they returned to Deuteronomy 26. We see in picture, at least, that is what we stood for picture. But not in picture, as you know, I am this thing. And that is a picture that the blessed God gave his only one son and did not spare the life and did not hold back the judgment from that blessed man. But it fell on his holy head, that he sent to God and he shed his, and his blood was shed there upon the cross. God did not spare his son. This is earlier what we came to Deuteronomy 26. But in Deuteronomy 26, you've got to see rather in practice. You've got the instructions from God himself, what is to be done when you are in certain circumstances. There are some things that we can just look at. There isn't time to look at the principle. But he says, take, I think, in verse 2. First of all, he says, when thou art come into the land. I don't suppose there are more than anybody here has any doubts about this happening. There's nobody here has any doubts about God's willingness to have you in the land. But all the men that God has given along to him has given you the land. No doubt in any heart here tonight is this, that the inheritance is yours. You're quite sure of that, aren't you? The inheritance is yours. And if you're not sure of it, why not make it your own tonight? Turn your heart, deny your heart, you will turn it up to the blessed God and thank him that thou hast given me the inheritance. What a blessing thing it is. How it will push out everything, and it's not that lower story, so to speak, and it will fill your heart with the wealth of the inheritance. Did you ever think how wealthy Paul was? Did you ever tell you how wealthy John was, or Peter? Did you listen to them sometimes talking in the New Testament? And then it occurred to you that they're producing wealth. Why, the empty verses, you remember, we talked about them once, I think. They had the empty verses, they had full verses. God, fill your heart with other things of God. Or is willing to fill your heart with prayer in order that you might spend it. They were wealthy men in those apartments before my judgment. And here's a man who was a wealthy man. And if you're in the inheritance of other things of God, young or old, you're wealthy beyond compare. Don't go along and try and compare spiritual wealth with material things. They don't go together. They don't just do one or another. But spiritual things are all about you. Brother Hall, when he's writing the book, he says, you often make a mistake about these baskets. You put the wrong title on the basket. You say, these things are ours, and those things are God. And 9 out of 10, you say, these things are ours, the material things, the good things, the house, and all the good things God has given them. You say, these things are ours. It's another mistake without the other, what things are truly ours. The things that we can lay claim to form God are spiritual things and spiritual things alone. The material things are put into your hands as stewards, and you'll have to give an account to the blessed God how you treated the things that he gave you. There's misunderstanding that you and I understand in our life is all the other thing. Well, here it is typically said out of us. The Father is working on the day. There is one who feels that God has done something for him and wants to go back to the message hall and say thank you. You remember the same letter they came to the Lord, and he healed the Lord. And they all turned their back on the incident, except one who turned back. And so did he speak. This is, he felt that this man has done something for me. He saved me. He turned me inside out. I was in a man. The message is gone. Where am I? They're all off the material thing. But if one man, he comes back and gets the word out and read the word, clear enough to love his name and God my heart.
My dear brothers and sisters doing that in last years.
form of blessing when he came up on the other night. He wasn't crippled, but that's really not anything of the care of the minute of him. God gave him the people off to him. God chose them to place where they were worthy of him, where he put his name, not their name, but his name, where he is recognized, where that holy name is revered, where he's put, and then he said, you are the priest in those days, you down to him, and then he confessed. He confessed the Father was ready to test. But what a marvelous thing it is. Love his name of God. He couldn't stop there, but he never stopped there. That's the first time in the land. Ready to finish? Or ready to finish? Look at him. Look at him. Love his name of God. Has he got into your heart? He's looking at anywhere God has brought you. Ready to finish? To look at him. What a step it is to take. By God, the Holy Spirit, and by his mercy. Well, he confesses where he was once, and now he thanks God where he is now. If you're angry, there are still filled. Let you remember that you were once there, and you turned to God and thank him, there he is pretty where you are, and not letting the thought in Christ. And then the priest is there, shall take the basket and set it before the altar of the Lord. Right on. You see, he's saying, I'll never separate from the dead. Don't let us ever go along and think they are. And don't hate for the Lord, I believe they are. I'm quite sure that connected with and never separated from the altar, the precious bed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't understand a little bit what that precious cross means to God, for what God has effected by that cross. I don't know if we ever done, but God will have others who are ready to bring it in. Never forget that the cross will be set down before God. It is weak, that is. With the judgment of the Lord Jesus, who made all these things available to you and me. Well, he goes on in verse 9. He called us into this place. He's never alone, you see. He's accompanied us there. He called us into this place. He's given us this land, a land that God has built. And honey, there's time to mark upon this, but you know very well that honey talks about fellowship, communion. Like one little bit of honey, have you ever thought how many bees it takes to make it? Have you ever thought about milk? Have you ever thought about nourishing and sustaining milk is? How eternal the thought is in the heart of the making God? You never thought that if God has an eternal heart, but he has, he's given the land, he knows about building, because he knows milk nourishes and builds. And he knows honey is also fellowship, the sweetness of fellowship that binds the things of God together. Well, these are in the land, and he says, the whole I have for first fruits. This is something he has done himself. We saw all that has given me. What an acknowledgement. I brought back to thee, blessed God, what thou wert to give to me. That's the said before, I have brought thy God and worship the Lord. This worship, you might say, I can't define worship. Maybe I have a technique, I'm not going to think. I know this, that worship speaks to my heart. Of giving thanks to God there that he's given me, of getting out of the year, of early years of thanking God, something of the greatness and intrinsic worth and preciousness and fragrance of the blessed name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, I read last week. Name of Jesus, Christ's name, saved by heaven and earth and all, from the heart of God. From the heart of God. And he leads back to what he says to God, believe me, he leads back to the heart of God. His affection, his love, love gave, love received, love sending. Send before the Lord, thy Lord, and worship. Turn you over now to the New Testament, or picture, if you will, of the same thing, which is the wise man. Some of you all, the Spirit of God calls them wise. This is all men of the world call them wise. Isn't that? Heaven calls them the wise. But the Spirit of God calls them wise men. All I believe is that the Bible says that God and you and I will be wise men. We will follow these things in our world and we will find our Jesus. Don't speak to that blessed man. That's why I think they're called wise and wise men. They're seeking someone, not something. They're seeking a person. And they have something to offer to a person. You see, what I think is wrong, very well, the story tells, isn't it? You can't be in the presence of Jesus unless your heart is bowed to sleep. And he got that. Now, we don't know anything about allowing industry. You just said that we don't know anything about working in business. And in case you think I'm whacking the head off, they say, believe me, what I understand is, well, this is something distinct from service. I'm not describing service. It's a grand thing to be one competent to serve the best place for God. This is a small thing we can do. But, mark you this, the first commandment of your affection from the blessed God is your heart to be with him. And you can't be affected, I say, on the blessed Jesus unless you're called to be with him. These are wise things. They came by a child then, who was it then? They bowed his feet. They brought some of her wealth. You see what the wealth was, and under the tiny volume of the time it was acted on. But they brought the wealth to him. Things that stole the simply wealth of the preciousness and fragrance of his life and of the perfection of his death. This following love that took him into bed and exhibited there upon the Lord. This treasure of Jesus, who gave himself on your account and mine, merely the night of our reserve, looking and seeking from your heart a little response to all that he has done on your account of mine. And it won't be worse for anything like this, it'll really humble to you of a heart touched by sin, of his greatness and glory and majesty of a person who was once crucified between two malefactors on the account. So they come to him, and they fall down and worship him, and they offer him a second. You say, I want nothing to get there. I want to hear a don't believe in the thing. It's a lie. The devil, you have something to give him. All you have to give him is what is given to you. And surely there's not a heart speaking here tonight that doesn't appreciate what the precious Christ of God has done on his cup. This next one, from the youngest to the oldest, your heart must respond to him. You must own that he's done this to you, whatever it might be in your case, and therefore you have something to offer back to you. You are wealthy with our exchange to God beyond description. You heard the story, haven't you, of the man in the Indian and the compound or something called it in America, who had a certificate to him that he would be fed and clothed and have everything that he needed while he lived. And all this for our exchange to God. And what did he do? He had it folded up, and he had a thread, got through a little hole, and he tied it around his neck and he stopped. And there was a man on board the liner who got when he bought the ticket, which included all the clothes and everything else, but he thought it only paid him what he paid his fare, and so another man stopped. It was all there, all the luxury, all the clothes of the luxury cruiser, what is, but he stopped. Now they say, don't stop, don't die, don't perish in the wilderness. There's wealth beyond them there in the inheritance that is yours, it belongs to you. Let it claim to you. Why, in the Epistle of Hebrews, he talks about laying hold, holding fast to the rope, which he tells you is fastened within the man. Claim these things, beloved. Let us claim these things more and more. They will and truly belong to us. You say, belong to me? Yes, all the wealth of heaven, beloved, send to God. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. All the wealth of heaven has sucked up to the person of Jesus, belongs to you. If that doesn't touch your heart, I don't know what. But it's bound to touch your heart. And these men, when they come into the house and have a child of his, they bore this to him and they worship him. Come into his presence, cultivate the presence of the blessed Christ of God, and we shall discover what worship there is. Now, if I may tell you before, to point you out, a scene out there in chapter 5 of Revelation. Doesn't matter where you turn, if you know, love it in the Word of God, ten men, three cut out. It's a man at the top, it's a man all exalted, it's a forerunner. There's a way to look for him, he's above, or he's beyond, or he's up, or he's crown, or he's throne. This is his name, he's imperative, this is Jesus. And now you've got this indescribable scene of God in Revelation 5. You've got all of that then up in Revelation 4. But in this scene of God, you've got the face of Jesus coming out again. You've got the Lamb of God. And it's the patient something comes out here. Why is he up there? Let me keep saying, why is he up there? I shouldn't be going there. I would not be him when he's not there. He's there, and it says in verse 4:5:4, I went, said John, much because still remains worthy. Heaven poses the question, and heaven answers it. They say, well, is it? And they said, if I sit on Peter sometimes, he says, you know what, I want to talk to the terrible king to be a mighty God. Thank God, God made them on his. I don't have to. I shouldn't think of a lot of God's done. But if God has this, it will stand every day, time and time. Now, heaven knows the rest, you go to work. But I say to God, what's your heart saying? Go to work. Why are you saying, Jesus? The name of Jesus. God said, heals the but in Jesus' name, they now go in verse 4, worthy is the Lord of the Lord. All heaven has claimed his worthiness. You and I, we need to be behind her. We can be in our own heaven. Love waiting to get there. You and I say amen to this. If heaven say, no, it's worthy, your heart says, Jesus. But we go on to verse 12. There's somebody there saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lord. Now, I want to do it. I said, we could be